This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. That's never happened before. I clicked go live and then StreamYard just crashed, kicked me out. Unbelievable. That's never happened. Hopefully that won't happen again. Hello and welcome to the Gouda Talk. This is the Arsenal preview show, joining you ahead of the next Arsenal fixture, which is against Bournemouth, of course. And that's really thrown me off. But we've got a fantastic panel of guests to talk to about this right after this. Hello, welcome to the Gouda Talk. Back with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal preview show. How odd was that? Did I just disappear off the screen? Is that all that happened?
You disappeared for a second and then reappeared.
Yeah, that was so strange. I literally clicked go live and then it went failure and just crashed. That's never happened before. That's so strange. Honestly, this StreamYard just wants to ruin me. That's all it's trying to do, gradually coming up with new ways to destroy the channel. Anyway, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to those joining us in the chat box, wherever you happen to be in the world. I'm joined by three fantastic guests. You've already heard him once. It's Dan. How you doing, mate? You good, Joel?
Hey, what's going on? You okay?
Very good. How's the Vegan Vital Kitchen going?
Going well. Finally got the video transferred to laptop today, so I'll be spending the next few hours editing. I didn't realise it while we was out in Sierra Leone. The video, the files are huge. Mm. So my phone couldn't handle the editing process. It kept crashing. So now I've got it transferred. Should start moving forward. Yeah, I'm going to have to record it on a slightly lower
frame rate. yeah, quality. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm looking forward to it, mate. Do send it across and we'll be sure to share it. Also joined by Alex. How are you doing, mate? You good, Joel?
Yeah, I'm not too bad at all. Just
how's the dissertation going?
It's due 3 weeks today. So it's
24th.
Yeah. I'm feeling slightly tired.
Yeah, it's a stressful thing. My experience of dissertation was not good in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if I've talked about this before. I spent like half a day in a field with my lecturer collecting water samples for a dissertation. It was horrific. It was the worst 6 hours of my life. And then the subsequent dissertation, because I had absolutely no passion for the topic. I think like what I'd planned to do just it turned out wasn't feasible. So we had to quickly rush to do some sort of geographical dissertation anyway. It didn't go very well and it kind of wrecked my entire degree. I ended up, it would have been a 2-1, but my dissertation ended up bringing it down to a 2-2. I was fuming. Anyway.
I handed in on the 24th and then there's a 2-day festival in Bournemouth the day after.
So good timing.
Straight to that.
Yeah, straight to that, mate. Honestly, the last few days of uni are the best. They are. No stress, no, responsibilities. You lose your minds. So enjoy it, indeed. Also joined by Leo. How you doing, mate? You good, Joel? Any studies on your end?
Listening to you guys being so happy about your dissertations and you especially using your diploma so well as you do. Very motivated. No, I'm a first grader in the uni, so I don't have much to do. I don't have any dissertations, no, I don't have any cooking channels, but I spent the last week trying to pack Declan Rice and Bukayo Saka on FIFA, and I'm heartbroken because I cannot do that for the love of me, man.
Well, yeah, that's a good mission. Again, I remember first year of uni, it was just like, again, no responsibilities at all. You just, the lecturers try and make out that it's like an important year. It's not. It's just, the second and third year matter. First year is just, you know, enjoy freshers. That's basically it. But no, it's certainly it's an experience that if you can do it, go and do it, uni. If you're listening and you're iffing and erring about uni, go. It's great. And I didn't even use my degree, so yeah, it's worth going for that. Anyway, jumping into today's stories, and specifically our looking ahead to Arsenal against Bournemouth. It's a game, Dan, that a lot of people are seeing as the trickiest fixture of the last three. Would you agree with them?
I don't know. I think all three of them are going to be tricky for their own reasons. Bournemouth, based on what happened last year, the psychological element of it. But I think it's just, let's get over this first hurdle. Don't concede within the first, was it 1 minute or was it 50-something seconds last year? Long ball, straight. Yeah, no, we can't have a repeat of last year. I'd like to think that we're going to put them to the sword immediately and take the game way out of their hands. But I think they're all difficult. Bournemouth of high flying. United away is always just a tricky, tricky game. And then Everton, that should be a banker. And hopefully we'll be in a position then to celebrate.
Indeed. Alex, you've obviously got your connections with AFC Bournemouth as well. So Dominic Solanke looks to be the biggest threat. We've heard from Iraola as well, that Antoine Semenyo is supposedly going to be available as well, which is a bit of a surprise, a bit of a blow to Arsenal. I don't know if that means he's going to be ready to start, but he's going to be in the squad. And Justin Kluivert's also been in really, really good form as well. So are they the main threats, or have we...
Oh, well, I think Dominic Solanke is the obvious one. Obviously, Semenyo, for his what I think is his first season in the Premier League, has been very good. I think that they're missing a few key players defensively, certainly. I think Zabanyi's still out, who is obviously one of their sort of top centre-backs. And I think there's Alex Scott, who's played quite well for them since joining.
Couple of Bristol City signs, yeah. Isn't it? It's Scott and Semenyo, yeah. Been very good for them.
Yeah, but I think they can be dangerous, especially on the break. They've got a lot of pace in their team. But I think overall quality-wise, we should be too strong for them, to be perfectly honest.
Just don't concede in the first minute.
I've never conceded in the first minute.
Indeed, yeah, ideally. I think we did it three times in 2023. Somehow we managed to do that. And it's thankfully something we've not done this season. Yeah, but it did happen three times last season, which is, when you think about it, absolutely ridiculous. And I guess something that Arsenal and Arteta in particular have tried to work on. I remember there was times in the stadium where I was just looking at the clock rather than the actual pitch for the first minute of the game, just waiting for that clock to tick over to 1-0-0, and know that kind of little that sidebar, if you like, that's been going on with Arsenal would finally pass. Leo, from an Arsenal perspective, Mikel Arteta said, for the first time this season, we have an entirely fully fit squad, which is a nice thing to have. We'll talk about Timber, of course, in a little bit. But how are you feeling about how Arsenal are, and from the last two games against Chelsea and Spurs, which we were unchanged, of course, for? How are you feeling about going into this one?
I feel like compared to Liverpool, for example, and compared to Chelsea, to Man United, we've been pretty lucky throughout the year. Obviously, we've missed Timber, we've missed Partey. We missed Jesus quite a lot, and Zini as well, but it wasn't as bad. And now having everybody fit is very weird. I don't know when was the last time we did have everybody fit at the end of the season, maybe like 50 years ago. but I still don't think Timber will start. I don't think we should rush him. I think it's only until the next season when we can see him fully fit, fully sharp, and in the rhythm of the game. So while we might have everybody fit, it's not like everybody's 100%. But it's not like everybody can be 100%. It's always going to be difficult. But yeah, I think we're very, very lucky right now to have everybody fit. And I think Ateta and his coaching staff must have tweaked something during the trainings and something like that, because I can see him being, I can see the team being a lot more steady, a lot more fit. So maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, potentially. I think you're right. It's nice to have everybody fit at this point of the season. You know, it'd been nice if we'd have had more luck throughout the campaign. I think people have actually forgotten how many issues we had in the first half of the season in particular. You know, there were periods where we had, obviously, no Saka for our biggest game against Man City at home. Trossard was missing for a fair few games. And there was a period where we missed both Trossard and Martinelli in the same game. I think it was away at Everton, actually. Trossard, I think, went off. Martinelli was injured. There was some real issues at the start of the campaign. Partey, of course, been missing for huge amounts of time. Tomiyasu as well was missing for a significant portion of the season. Zinchenko's been in and out of the side. And when he's been in the side, there's obviously been questions. Some good performances as well. Of course, Gabriel Jesus has been and was previously missing during the festive period. And then, of course, after those January, February months, was also out for a little bit as well. So, and Gabriel's been carrying a foot issue. And so had Ben White, of course, had been carrying that knee issue. In the first half of the season, there were question marks about Ben White's form, believe it or not. Second half of the season, he's put himself into the category of potential player of the season contender. So had we have not had that break in Dubai, things might have been very, very different indeed. And it's not just about having 2 week breaks, because if you ask Tottenham how they spent their last 2 week break, I don't know what they were doing, but they've now lost back to back games following their 2 weeks off. But Arsenal, much, much better. Dan, talking about one of the players that has returned and probably the big narrative of this game, Urien Timber. In your view, Leo said he wouldn't start him. He's not in any of our lineups, spoiler alert. But how do you see like managing that situation? You've got a player that's played 45 minutes for the under 21s and then 71 minutes for the under 21s. Some people will argue that that's enough to come into the starting lineup, but what's the argument that he shouldn't start this game?
I think there's too much on the next two games. Everton is the last game of the season, but the next two games, I think there's too much on in terms of the pressure for him to come in. Even if he comes in as a cameo, I think it's going to be too intense. Everton game is kind of like almost a dead ringer for them. There's nothing left to play for them, is there? I think they're safe now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would wait till the last game. Give him the last, say, 15, 20 minutes so that he gets the reaction from the crowd. He goes into summer with his head high, knowing that the fans are behind him. But I think Jesus' situation was very similar. We had to kind of almost rush him. Even though it didn't feel like he was rushed back, they were doing that. Remember the percentage countdown, he's almost there. But then as soon as he started playing, you could just see there was something not quite right. And then within a few games, he was out for a couple of games and he was back. And it's just, you don't want that with Timber. I think Timber's expectation is to create that full back five that never change. And I think if we let him go into next season, at least you give him that little extra time to recover fully. Knees are a horrible thing to recover from, especially ligaments and tendons and stuff. So I'd like to see him come back, but I would prefer next season. But if you have to be this season, let it be the last game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's a chance we'll probably see him from the bench in this game with a, you know, if that kind of performance, if say we've got a good scoreline, you know, at halftime, I'd like to see him come on for 45, potentially, if we've got a good lead at that point. But Bournemouth are no mugs, you know, they are, I think personally, that the toughest side that we'll come up against between now and the end of the season. Man United are just a hilarity of a football club. And I know that we've got a really poor record at Old Trafford and we've won once there since 2006 in the league, and we'll need to do it one more time, of course, to keep our title hopes alive. But I still think that, I think Bournemouth from the start of November, if the season had started then, they'd be fifth right now. That's how good they've been, you know. And they had something like 6 points up until November and now they've got 48. They've collected 42 since that point. Very good indeed. Only four more teams have collected more than them. So, yeah, they have been very good and they've picked up some good results against some good sides as well. There is still, Alex, the context of the title race. We're an early kickoff. It's quite nice for once to have an early kickoff. I love early kickoffs. It means I've actually got an afternoon to enjoy. You know, a 3 o'clock kickoff, you think, well, you got an evening note. It takes up so much time, you know, after the games and stuff. And it'll be nice to wrap things up by about 5 o'clock and then enjoy, I say enjoy, the Manchester City game against Wolves, which is also another interesting feature. But how do you see these two games intertwining, the City and the Arsenal game?
I think that we can only focus on what's in front of us. You know, when it's in someone else's hands, you can't. I think the more we think about the City result, the more frustrating it's going to be for everyone because, you know, I still don't see City slipping up, unfortunately, but you just don't know. And all we have to do is focus on our performances and what we can control. I think going into the game against Bournemouth, we're going to do exactly what we've been doing, which is taking every game one at a time. And I think that that's probably what's changed for this season. When you look at last season, I felt like the pressure of the next few games got to us in a game itself. Whereas I feel like this season, we very much, like when you hear the players talk about it, and whether that's just them being well-trained or whether they actually believe it is another thing. But I think you hear them talk about it and we're just going to do what we need to do this game and then we go on to the next one. And I think that makes a big difference because when you consider a problem of 10 games at a time, then you're going to have issues within the squad because you're thinking, how is this possible? But I think we, like people have said in the chat and like we've said before, I think every game is important up until the end of the season. And we've just got to keep on pottering through, try and pick up some goal difference because you don't know what it's going to come down to if it does come down to, you know, we're level on points. But you never know.
It's going to be a very interesting closure. Wolves and West Ham, who City have got to play, have picked off more points against big six sides than anyone else bar Arsenal, believe it or not. So there's always hope. There's always that hope. And Wolves, you know, they're a team that can surprise. I mean, yes, they, prior to this season, had lost the previous six meetings with Man City. Before that, they did the double over them in 2019, of course, beat them earlier this season. But it was a Pedro Neto contribution, which led to an own goal that was a real key part of that game. They won't have him for this one. But yeah, and they won't have Gary O'Neill either, who is he's got a touchline ban for this game, which is a very big frustration that it's been timed at this point, considering the incident happened a fair few games ago. It's funny, isn't it? All of a sudden, he's got a touchline ban right before this one. How amusing is that? But yeah, it's we keep our fingers crossed and we keep things going. We hope to put the pressure on them. You know, the last time I think of a weekend I was at the Emirates where I thought we were going to respond was the Aston Villa game, and we didn't deliver after Liverpool, of course, on the same day lost to Crystal Palace, and we missed that opportunity, and that could come back to really cost us come the end of the season. But hopefully, we can get the job done. Leo, just lastly, before we go to the lineup situation, it's interesting with that full squad and also with the look ahead to kind of the summer, we kind of see where Arsenal are as a team and what we need and what fans still feel that we need, but also the strength that this team obviously has. And Arteta talked about how it's going to be a nightmare trying to pick players, and obviously he's going to have to leave some players out as well to put timber in this squad. You're probably going to have to leave out a senior figure like a Smith Rowe or an Nketiah or somebody like that, maybe even a Vieira to get timber in the squad, because I don't think you'd drop Kivior and I don't think you'd drop Zinchenko necessarily, or maybe you would. It's interesting. But how do you foresee Arsenal's squad, seeing it in its full entirety of, as we will this weekend? How do you see it evolving into the next campaign?
That's interesting, isn't it? Into the next campaign, as in the next season, right?
Because usually people, the end of the season does infer, doesn't it, what we tend to see might and could happen.
No, I don't think, barring any crazy injuries, I don't think the plans would change. I think a lot of people will leave. I'm afraid Smith Rowe will leave as well. We all love him, but he doesn't get a lot of play time. We will see. Honestly, we cannot know. Last season, we thought we knew what was going on, but there's only so much we can hear from the journalists. Only so much we can speculate, and I'm sure.
Lucky journalists.
No,
sorry, I already put you off there. Keep going.
I'm sure Arteta had the plan already, like a few years ago. I'm sure he's planning a few seasons ahead. And Timber comes back. I think he will be a key figure next season. Maybe Zinchenko leaves. I wouldn't sell him personally. Maybe the attacking line, I think, needs shuffling and reshuffling. I think Nelson goes, Eddie goes, maybe Jesus goes, maybe Smith Rowe goes, and we need a little bit more quality in there. think maybe some more Helen graduates will get more minutes than this season, obviously. Maybe more in the Cups, maybe somewhere else. But I think it's the next step for the academy. I think we need more experienced figures. I am very much rooting for Josua Kimmich deal to come through, and for the likes of him, because I think it's very important. We saw it in the Champions League that those players make the difference. The players that already played there and played at the biggest of stages, they have that edge that helps you get it over with and just go into the tough matches and just do it. So I think I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a very hectic window with the Euros and everything, and a lot of deals not being able to be done while the players just play games. And whenever that's done, it's just we're just going to have like a month to get everything wrapped up, and we'll just see. I hope we get a centre mid. I hope we get a Kimmich, and I hope we get a very good attacker. That's what I'm hoping.
It's got to be the plan. I think you're right. You know, the priorities, you know, the wide area in particular has become much more in focus, I think, as well. And if Jesus moves on, though, and Nketiah moves on, suddenly the centre-forward position looks a lot more in need than it maybe did prior to these rumours about Jesus, who has not featured in any of our 11s going into this selection. And we'll kick things off selection-wide with Dan's team. Talk us through your team, mate, and your reasons behind it.
Well, I've stuck with the same team we've had the last three games, which is Raya in goal, Tomiyasu, Gabriel, Saliba, White at the back. Sticking with Partey and Rice, because that combination is just working wonders at the moment. Odegaard just in front of them, with Trossard, Havertz and Saka up top. I stuck with the same lineup purely based off the fact that I don't think he's going to shuffle anything at the back. It would be a game where Zini could come in and provide some sort of more attacking sort of prowess on the left. But considering what happened last year, where Bournemouth tend to sort of go long, diagonal long balls, I think keeping the back five as it is right now keeps that assurance that we're not going to be making those same mistakes. Partey, as I've been saying in the Discord for a while now, you can't just replace that kind of talent. Even though he hasn't featured the whole season, he's the kind of difference maker that we had last year. Then when he didn't play in the single games or five games, it hurt us. This season, we've had to grind it out without him all the way till now. And it almost feels like an absolute luxury having him in this moment, because he could be the difference maker this weekend. He could be the difference maker next weekend. And who knows? You know, Jorginho's done a solid for us the whole season, but he's someone who doesn't have legs. He's just great at being the metronome and pulling the strings. Right now, I think we need a bit of both, because everyone's fighting for something. You know, like they're coming at us full pace. Partey does everything. And I think he also allows Rice and Odegaard to sit a bit further forward, because they don't have to worry about what's behind them. So yeah, I'm excited for this game, and I think this lineup is the best one. Jesus would have crept in on the left for me.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes at McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But I think the way that Arteta's managing him at the moment, kind of giving him cameos, is going to be better for him in the long run, especially if he's got this pending knee operation or the touch-up. Just keep him ticking over rather than throwing him in the deep end. It'll work better for him in the long run.
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely. And Alex, you've gone for the exact same team as Dan's, I'm sure, for very similar reasons. But Havertz is your star man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the team does sort of pick itself. There's something to be said for, you know, you've got the momentum coming into it now where we do need to win the next three games to give ourselves a sniff of, you know, doing the unthinkable. And I think that, you know, going into this is sort of slightly unrelated to the game, but going into next season, I think that we very much need to keep hold of the core and the spine of the team. And I think that you have to look at now, like these next couple of seasons, as a time where we can go for these sort of marquee players, because we need to win something whilst you can, because you've got teams that are in rebuild phases that maybe might not last as long as we think. You know, you look at your Chelsea's and Man United's who are, this season maybe aren't there, but we just don't know what could happen. And I think that when you're in a situation like that, sometimes plans might change. So we've looked at signing a lot of younger players, and now we've signed players such as Rice and such as Trossard, and, you know, I'm going to argue Havertz, because of the nature of the player that he is, maybe isn't what some people might have expected. But nonetheless, I think he's got, 14 goals, is it? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it might be 14. I think you might be right, yeah.
Yeah, and when you look at that, you're saying we're probably missing a 20-goal-a-season plus striker, and maybe we'd be talking about a different...
What is Havertz that? It's 13, by the way. 12 in the league, 1 in the Champions League.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he played most of the season at the start of the campaign in midfield. It was only... I'm looking at it here. That before Christmas, he played once at centre-forward, which was against Man City in the 1-0 win. And, obviously, that was only the last 15 minutes of that game. Other than that, the first time he played at centre-forward in the league was against Liverpool when we won 3-1. He had a really good game that day. He also had a good game in the FA Cup, which we didn't win, but he played up front in that game as well. And did well, but the entirety of the season prior to that, he was playing in midfield. So scoring that many goals, you could argue, if he'd have been playing centre forwards, he might have got 20 plus Premier League goals.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen before Arteta view some, well, Arteta and his staff often view things in a different way to what a lot of fans do, and that's no disrespect to fans. It's just, you know, that's the nature of why they're in jobs where they're paid hundreds of thousands of pounds a week and to make those sort of decisions. And bearing they don't always get them spot on. But I think we have to look to next season as an opportunity to win something personally. And you'll say, and Arteta will save himself a lot of stick if we win something next season. Obviously, it would be great to win something this season, but it's looking not as likely. But I think at some point, some people are going to start asking questions about, we've seen loads of improvement, but there's no tangible improvement. You know, there's nothing to hold, which I you know, I'm not of that opinion, but I've seen it before. So...
yeah, true. We have seen it, and I'm just hoping that ultimately what has happened this season, and I think Havertz obviously is a big part of that, and I think he will infer something of the business that we do in the summer, and I think his form at centre-forward has changed how they view it. And some fans will go, oh, for goodness sake, you know, that's really annoying because I wanted to see us go out and get a striker. But the reality is he's been excellent for us at centre-forward, and it's a case of like, we can now put more emphasis into the wide position, and we can put more emphasis into a centre midfielder that I think are greater priorities than centre forward. I think if Nketiah and Jesus go, we absolutely need to go and get a centre forward, but you can look to bring in more of a younger option that you can turn into your prime centre forward, rather than spending 150 million on Osimhen, who doesn't necessarily guarantee you, you know, what some might suggest he will. So I think what Havertz has done has made the situation easier for us in the summer. And that's what we want. You know, you want your £65 million player to do the business, to make the decisions that you then need to make much simpler when it comes to making those knock-on choices. The only person that has made a change to their team is Leo, who's brought in Kivior at left-back. So to talk us around that, I'm thankful that you've made a change because it gives us a bit of a talking point, and you've also picked Saka as your star man.
Went with Kivior. mainly because I'm not the biggest fan of him. I just want him to prove me wrong.
That was the most juxtapositioned explanation. I picked him because I'm not the biggest fan of him.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I just hate looking at him passing the ball. Not hate, obviously not. It's just this feeling in me that he's going to lose the ball. He's going to pass it somewhere he's not supposed to. I just don't feel comfortable with him on the ball. And other than that, I don't think Bournemouth are going to be in a deep block, so I don't think we necessarily will need Zinchenko. And also when Kivior plays, he's kind of rotated with White, so White inverts, and Kivior plays centre-back. So I just want to see White flourish. He's been so good lately. Just want him to have 90 minutes of the ball and just let him do whatever he wants.
And Saka?
And Saka, because my man had a week of rest. I don't know when was the last time he had that. He had more than 48 hours of rest, and I'm sure he got an 8 hours sleep, a double English breakfast tomorrow, and he's going to bag a hat trick. And also, since I didn't pack him on FIFA, he's got to make up for it somehow.
Is this team of the season? This is why you keep referencing it. Is this?
Yes.
See, Alex nodding away. I need to teach her all the lessons of life, which number one is quit FIFA as soon as FIFA. Or rather, quit Ultimate Team as soon as you can. It will improve your mental health beyond all measure. Trust me. It's one of the best things I ever did was quit FIFA. But enough about that, because I've told that story several times now. In terms of my team, I did go with Tomiyasu because I hate him. No, not because I hate him, because I think he's a very good player. But I just think, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it sort of thing. I think the boys have raised some really good points. I don't think I need to go over anything else of what they've said. They covered it excellently. In terms of my star player, Declan Rice, I'd like to see him score again. You know, I loved the setup. What was the game? I think it was Sheffield United away from home where he ran into the box and cut the ball back. I'm trying to think who it was who he cut the ball. Was it Ødegaard he cut the ball back for? I'm trying to think of who it was. But that movement where he got to the touchline and was so kind of direct in what he was doing is something I want to see him do more. I think with the midfielders that Arsenal are being linked to, it's potentially that Rice will play more as a number eight. And so for that reason, seeing Declan Rice in that position is going to be something I think we see more often. I think it might have been Ødegaard. I'm just looking back. Ødegaard scored in five. No, it wasn't. It was the second half. Is that the right game? Or is it Burnley? Someone help me. Someone save me. I think it might have been Burnley now I think about it.
You know, he does run a lot and the cutback quite often. We're never in the right position to finish it. He puts the ball right across the six-yard box. And none of our strikers or attacking players are ever gambling at last moment. And the one or two times they have, we've scored from it.
Yeah.
Ødegaard does. He's always in that position. But if it's from the left. Do you think he's going to play as the eight mostly?
Yeah. I think he's an eight, to be honest. I think. Do you not?
I don't know. He mentioned it in his interview. I didn't read it fully. But I think he said that he himself and Arteta also think that he's best as a six, but maybe now we just don't have an eight. That I think what we need to do in the market is get somebody with that passing edge that can just lob the ball or over mid block or something like that. Maybe a Kimmich, maybe somebody with the trans qualities that can just pass it from whatever position. And I don't think he has it. His diagonals are very good, but we don't use that. And I don't know.
He's a safety passer. That's the problem with him playing at the six, is he's great at the defensive part, but then getting it between the lines and getting to the next phase, he very rarely looks forward at that deep in the pitch. So he always looks to the side for a short pass, or he looks for a little diagonal spray.
Yeah.
When he plays in the eight role, because he's quite good progressing the ball, dribbling, he's more effective higher up the pitch because he's running with the ball down the line and doing one-twos and getting in behind. Mm-hmm. But he also... he's with his pressing, he's winning the ball higher up the pitch as well.
I think also when we're playing with him and he's dropped into playing six, it's often because we're trying to overload if we're struggling to play out. And that's when he's really, really good at doing that, because he's able to find those little pockets of space and perhaps beat someone. But we do miss him when he does drop back in, I think, because there's not anyone like him higher up in the team who's able to operate in that way. But I think that's the difficulty that you have, and that's why I think Jorginho has always looked quite effective, because he's very happy to sit in between the two centre backs and do that job, not necessarily to the same ability, but you know, when you've got a player like Ødegaard, he's gonna look relatively good wherever he is. And I was watching that 4-4-2 did an Arsenal video about him. Now forgetting which game, it might have been the Chelsea game.
I think it was.
They were saying, you know, his heat map was pretty much, he operated in the right half space for like 75-80% of the game, and you look what happened to Chelsea during that game. I think it's just, he is just so good at that sort of link up, that wide triangle that he has with Saka and Ben White. And you know, Ben White scoring goals in all sorts of ways, cross,
not even meaning to at the moment, and scoring goals. Yeah, it was Ødegaard, by the way, that scored. I just rewatched while you were chatting away the highlights, the Sheffield United game, and it's quite a nice move. It's Gabriel into Jorginho, who plays it into Martinelli, actually, who then plays Rice on the left hand side in the half space toward the touchline. He cuts it back, Havertz dummies it, and Ødegaard finishes it very comfortably. So I think he can be effective in those positions. I think that his position would very much dictate about the market, actually, and kind of who we end up signing in the summer. And I think if we're able to get a very good box-to-box, we think you'll see him play more at six. And if we end up getting a very good six, I think you'll play him more in the eight position. And I think he's good enough to play those two roles to an extremely high level, and arguably world-class level in both. So he gives us so much, does Declan Rice, and he was an absolute steal at £105 million. By the way, that £5 million in add-ons is nothing to do with winning the title, sadly. So West Ham are given no extra incentive on the final day. It's all to do with Champions League qualification, rather sadly, or rather playing in the Champions League. So, predictions. Arsenal against Bournemouth. Dan, scoreline and scorers, please.
I would say I'm going to go 3-0. I think we're going to have Ødegaard. I'd like to see Rice, as you said, score. And I think Jesus is going to come from the bench and finish it off.
Nice one. Alex?
I'm going to go 4-0. I'm going to go Havertz. He's going to score twice. I'm going to go Ben White. And I'm going to go Gabriel from a corner.
Nice one. I could really do with these Rice, Havertz, and because I've got Rice and Havertz in my fantasy team, and I feel like they're quite good differentials. Not many people have them, and they keep picking up these points here and there. So it's been going quite well for me. Leo.
Great fantasy team. That's the best piece of advice I can do. Yeah, just play FIFA, man.
No.
Your mental health will skyrocket. I start fantasy football in August of every year, and I finish in August of every year. I just cannot keep up with
it. It's way better for you than FIFA. You just once a week or twice a week, just check your
knees. Play football manager instead.
Yeah, I've never been able to get into Football Manager, but I hear very good things about it. Very addictive.
That's another one that consumes your life if you get into it.
Yeah.
Involved in tactics and like every day, even if we don't, you on the new game, you like sort of control even the background in the training.
Yeah, I'm in 2035 with Hampton and Richmond, and we just qualified for the Champions League, so that's where
that's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, oh dearie me. Anyway, Leo, scoreline and scorers.
I wanted to go with a respectful 2-0, but I don't know, maybe 3-0 with the Saka double and the Havertz goal. I think we're gonna keep a clean sheet, even though we're at home and we you know, very good at that. But yes, Saka, be happy. Man City gonna lose 8-0 to Wolverhampton.
To be honest, we need goals. The goal difference, you know, while we've got this edge, the goal difference isn't as wild. You know, if you beat Bournemouth, say 1-0, Man City can easily put five past the team, and then all of a sudden there's a three goals in it, and it could genuinely go to the last day and goal difference comes into it, even if they've dropped points. So it's something worth thinking about. So I'm going to go with a 4-0 Arsenal win here. A Havertz screamer, because that is at the moment our TGT prediction, is a Havertz screamer. We've not had one yet. I'm looking forward to when it does arrive. But yeah, a Havertz screamer. The Chelsea one was as close to it as we've come when he smashed that one in Pascal Correa. Excellent ball from Ødegaard. But I wouldn't describe that as a as a screamer, just a smashing finish more than anything else. So yeah, 4-0, Havertz to get a screamer. Gabriel to get a header from a corner. Always love his celebrations. Very enthusiastic indeed. Declan Rice directly from a corner. I think that's the next thing he needs to do, is that everyone's talking about us from corners, but what Ben White's going to do is he's just going to shimmy the goalkeeper all the way out of the goal so that a corner can just go straight in. That's I think, the next level for Ben White to unlock. So that's the third one. And then a Leo Trossard, because he just can't stop scoring at the moment. Can Leo Trossard, so he can have one as well. The chat box is very positive, as we would expect. John says 4-1, Damien says 3-0, with Saka, Gabriel and Havertz. Rancid says 3-2, Havertz and Ketia Timber with a 95th minute winner. That would be quite the return, but not good for the heartstrings. Amberlee says 3-1 to Arsenal, I think, Rice, Odegaard and Havertz. Amira says 3-0, Saka, Havertz and Tomiyasu screamer. It will go in eventually, I can feel it. Justin says 4-0 to the Arsenal, Saka hat-trick with a Trossard opener. Iron says 2-1, it's going to be another tough game. Bournemouth are in exceptional form at the moment. And that player, Semenyo, is a big miss. If he misses, he's not going to. I think he's going to be in the squad. Whether he's in the starting 11, we'll have to wait and see. But he's going to be there. And Natalie says Arsenal 4-0 win. Trossard, Havertz, Rice and Saka. We've got Tom going for a hopeful 3-0. But I could see a 2-1 happening as well, as Ian said earlier on. And Matt G's going for a Timber overhead kick in this game. Would love to see that. Dale says PTSD is raging here. 3-0, 4-0, 3-0, 4-0, overconfidence. Callan says 3-1. And Jaldari says 3-0, Havertz hat-trick. Lovely stuff.
You know what's nice, Tom? How different is it from a year ago? How many people were saying Havertz is going to score? It's like almost like a guarantee now. We're so sure he's going to get one.
Well, to be fair, 6 months ago, we used to say Havertz to score in previews just because we were manifesting it more than anything else, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas now we're saying it because we think it's actually going to happen, which is great, you know, and it shows you the success of that signing. He's in with it's mad to think he's in with a shout of being one of Arsenal's Player of the Season candidates now. That tells you a lot. I don't think he's the winner, but he's definitely amongst those that have got arguments. I think it will probably be Declan Rice. We'll get the Player of the Season. Now, you think he's won the most Man of the Match awards of any Arsenal player this season, rightfully so. He first half of the season in particular, he was a standout, kept us in the race. You know, goals against Man United, goals against Luton in the last minutes of games, really, really big. So I think Declan Rice is probably going to be the rightful winner of that. But Havertz is certainly amongst those six that we've been talking about. Gabriel, as Amira says as well, deserves a shout as well. He's probably been, alongside Rice, the most consistent performer in the team this season. But it's going to be an exciting game. Really looking forward to getting back to the Emirates. My first game, actually, I'm going to be there for in quite some time, because we've had a lot of London derbies, meaning our Chelsea writer has been there and our Spurs writer has been there in my seat. So I'm very happy that a Bournemouth means that I'm going to be there tomorrow at the Emirates for it. I'm looking forward to that very much. So thank you to my fantastic panel of guests. Please show them plenty of love in the chat box and in the comment section down below. Dan, thank you for coming, mate. Tell people they can find you.
No problem. Find me in the Discord with the boys down below. And I'm also on my food channel, Vegan Vital Kitchen. As I said, technical issues have been prolonging the release of the latest video, but finally worked out. Should be out by tomorrow.
Looking forward to it. Can you tell? Is it embargoed or is it available?
I have put it up. When I was in Sierra Leone, we sort of went into the kitchen. We did okra, the traditional way. On the hot stones, and it was just an experience I'm never going to forget. Cooking out in the open wind, having to light charcoal, homemade charcoal, by the way, out in the field, and it was a great experience. So yeah, I'm looking forward to releasing this one. But as I said, the video quality is so high that it's just taking a little bit longer than usual. So
make sure you send me the link, Mike, and I'll share it across the community tab so people can see it for sure.
Yes, thank you.
Alex, thank you for your time. It was a pleasure. Best of luck with the rest of your dissertation, and I'm sure you're going to smash it, so you'll be fine.
Thank you. Yeah, you can always find me on the Discord and mainly in the library for the next 3 weeks. And then after that, hopefully on the beach for a very, very long time. So I have to face reality again.
Indeed. Well, after this, mate, it's the real world. So
yeah, I know. I'm going to be
crashing close. Yeah, enjoy these last few weeks, mate, because once they're gone, they're gone. Please do. And lastly, Leo, you've absolutely smashed it once again, mate. Best of luck with the rest of your first year, you know, dossing about, basically, is what it is. But thank you for coming on, mate. Tell people they can find you.
Can find me on the Discord channel begging Dan to FedEx me some of his food. And yeah, just for the like, next 2 years, you can find me in Hungary getting a diploma I'm never ever going to use. So
you got to think more positively than that, mate. You got to think more positive. You never know. You never know when it might come in handy. My geographical one is something I was teaching for a few years. I used it there. I don't use it now, but it paid the bills for a little bit. So you never know when it might crop up. But hopefully it will. Thank you to everyone that's joined us live in the chat box. You're very much appreciated. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 a.m. for a condensed morning show because it is an early kickoff, which means I'm going to be heading off early to the Emirates, which does mean, which I'm very excited about, the food for media will be cooked breakfast tomorrow. Oh, that is going to be... It's always good when you have an early kickoff because it means the Emirates do cook breakfast for media, which is great. So I'm very much looking forward to that. It won't be vegan though, Dan. I'm very sorry. There will be many bacons and sausages being consumed by me tomorrow, but I'll make up for it by trying your okra dish in return. So there you go.
I'll make sure you do that.
But thank you, listeners. I'll see you tomorrow. As I say, stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. Let's hope that this doesn't crash when I try and end the stream. Let's see if it does. 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.